أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. We will look at the tafsir of Surah Al-Kahf, Ayah 60 to 66. Today we will learn another story. This is the third story from the beginning of the surah. We learned about two stories so far. The first one was about the companions of the cave. Then we read about the story of the man with the two gardens. So we will learn two more stories from this surah. If we think back, what were the questions presented before the Prophet ﷺ by the Quraysh? The questions that the Yahud had told the Quraysh to ask from the Prophet ﷺ. The first question was regarding the companions of the cave. The second question was about Dhulqarnain, the king who traveled. But in this surah, we also find the story of a man with two gardens, and here about Musa alayhi salam and Khidr alayhi salam. Then why are these two additional stories being mentioned? The story of the man with two gardens is presented to warn the Quraysh, the Kuffar of Makkah, who considered themselves wealthy and abundant in children. Although the Kuffar in Makkah did not ask about this story, but it is being told because the condition of the Quraysh or the Kuffar of Makkah was similar to the story of the man with the two gardens. They are being reminded that nothing will remain from their worldly assets and benefits. So why don't they contemplate on that and believe in the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Now in this story, we learn about knowledge. Because we are all students, there are many lessons for us. We learn etiquettes of seeking knowledge in this story. Who were the people addressed in this story? The Yahud or Jews of Medina. Because they considered themselves the knowledgeable ones. In this story, we see Musa alayhi salam as a student, and we see his conduct as a student. The Jews were being reminded that if Musa alayhi salam was alive then he did not have arrogance or shame in gaining more knowledge. He did not consider himself most knowledgeable. So the Jews were being reminded that they were knowledgeable as they were people of the book. But now the Prophet from Allah had come and they should submit to him and his message. So these two stories in the middle are additional to the response of their questions. Before we look at the ayahs, we will look at this story of Musa alayhi salam as mentioned in Bukhari and Muslim narrations. The background behind its revelation. Ubay bin Ka'b stated that we heard from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam that Musa addressed his people of Bani Israel. He was giving them a sermon. When he was asked, "Who is the greatest in knowledge?" So he said, "I." This answer was not wrong because there was no more knowledgeable among them in terms of knowledge of deen and divine revelation, as he was a prophet of Allah. So he said himself in response to their question. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not like his saying this. Shortly after, Angel Jibreel alayhi salam came to him with revelation to inform him that how could he say that without knowledge of it. In this surah, we learn about speaking without knowledge. So Jibreel alayhi salam said, "There is a servant of Allah in Majma' al-Bahrain who is more learned than Musa." Upon this, Musa alayhi salam said, "O Allah, how can I reach him?" Then it was commanded that he take a fish with him in a basket, and wherever the fish was lost, that's where they would find this scholar or alim. Musa alayhi salam sought permission of Allah to go seek more knowledge from him. Musa alayhi salam also took a young man, Yusha bin Nun, to accompany him upon this journey. Yusha bin Nun was also a prophet. After the death of Musa alayhi salam, he is the one who took Bani Israel and conquered an area of land. So Musa alayhi salam took Yusha bin Nun with him and began the journey of seeking knowledge. And this journey of seeking knowledge is called Rihla. We learn many etiquettes of being a teacher and of being a student. What are the etiquettes required as a teacher and as a student? They both left when Yusha bin Nun was with Musa alayhi salam. When they reached a certain place where there was a rock, Musa alayhi salam lay down, resting his head on the rock, and went to sleep for a little time. Soon after, the fish began to move and jumped out of the basket and into the sea. The fish made a tunnel and burrowed its way into the sea. The fish was dead, and in some tafsirs, it is mentioned that some parts of the fish were already eaten. Yusha bin Nun saw what happened to the fish. He wanted to tell Musa alayhi salam, but since Musa alayhi salam was resting, he did not want to disturb him by waking him up. So when Musa alayhi salam woke up, Yusha forgot to mention to him about the fish, and then they both left. They walked the entire day and the next night until Musa alayhi salam felt tired and hungry. Then he asked Yusha to bring their food. Yusha bin Nun remembered that when Musa alayhi salam was resting near the rock, he had forgotten to mention how the fish went into the sea in a strange way. Musa alayhi salam said that was the place they were searching. So they turned back. Now we will see from the ayahs. وَإِذْ قَالَ مُوسَى لِفَتَاهُ. And when Musa said to his young student, why did Musa alayhi salam take this young student with him for his mentoring so he could teach him? For example, just as a teacher would take one of his pupils to teach them knowledge and skills. So this is when Musa alayhi salam and Yusha bin Nun had begun their journey. This is after Musa alayhi salam had delivered his sermon and is told about a man who is more knowledgeable than him, and Musa alayhi salam did not know of. So Musa started his journey with his student in search of this person. While upon this journey, Musa alayhi salam tells his student, Yusha bin Nun, لا أبره حتى أبلغ مجمع البحرين. I will not leave or cease until, as we learn, أبره means to keep on doing something. I will not leave until I reach the junction of the seas, or أو أمضي حقبا, or I will pass long periods. As it was mentioned, means continuing for 80 years or more. So he said, I will keep on going, even if it takes a long time. What do we learn from this statement of Musa alayhi salam? A very strong commitment, extreme determination, and a firm resolve. So he left for Rahla fi talab al-ilm, journey in search of knowledge. Even the companions of the Prophet ﷺ would make effort to seek knowledge. Not only the companions, but the aslaf, who were the righteous predecessors, who would leave their homes and travel far to learn even just to learn one hadith. Once a companion learned that a certain person has knowledge of a specific hadith, as soon as he learned about it, he left his home. He said, I left to learn about the hadith as soon as I could, fearing that I die before learning it, or that you die. Musa alayhi salam was not an ordinary man. His nation of Bani Israel, when Musa alayhi salam left with them from Egypt, they were 600,000. Then after that, they grew in numbers. He was a prophet for such a large nation. He is from the Ulul Azm, the top noble five prophets. When he learned that there is someone with more knowledge than him, and he had knowledge that Musa did not have, he left his home in search of that knowledge. We see Musa alayhi salam's commitment. He didn't tell his student that we will leave. La nabraha. We will not leave. Or hatta nabluga. Nor until we reach. No, he said I, because he is speaking about his commitment. From this we learn how he is trying to set the example. Many times, it doesn't matter how much one tells others to become committed, but they have to become an example themselves. Musa alayhi salam was teaching his student about being committed. And the fact of the matter is that knowledge can never be gained without commitment. To seek knowledge, one must be committed, and this goes for any other task. For example, if we cook, we begin to cook, and then just in a little time, we leave it without finishing. Would the food be ready to eat? No. Therefore, until we are not fully committed, we cannot gain knowledge. Sometimes we think it's okay if some days we go to learn and other days not go to our classes just because we don't feel like it. This is not how knowledge is gained. Now, if we look at Musa alayhi salam as a prophet, we see his attitude about gaining knowledge. So far, before this time, he was a muallim himself, a teacher of his nation. This day, he leaves as a student, and we see his role as a student. Even then, he is so determined and committed that he says, even if it takes him a long time, he will keep on looking for the place of Majma' al-Bahrain so he could find the teacher. It could be that he never finds that location and a long time passes. It could have been an endless journey where he doesn't find anything. As Musa alayhi salam didn't know when he would find it, so he said, I will keep on looking and searching. What do we learn? He didn't make the excuse that I do not know where it is. I don't know if I will ever find it. So why go out to look for this knowledge? He didn't know the junction where the two seas met. Therefore, he says, I will keep searching for it. A teacher is telling his student, no matter how long it takes. If we look at ourselves, do we have this type of commitment to learn and gain knowledge? No matter how long it takes. Usually, students are interested in knowing when the class will end. Musa alayhi salam isn't concerned about when it will end. Seeking knowledge is a never-ending journey. When we learn one thing, then we learn another matter and more after that. This is a very difficult journey and not an easy one. It is possible it can take one's entire life in learning. We do not see Musa alayhi salam getting disheartened, nor worried, nor saying, I have left my nation. How long can I take? I don't have time for it. Musa alayhi salam says, I will keep on going, because in this journey, even if a person dies, in the hadith, it is mentioned that whoever dies in path of gaining knowledge is a martyr. So someone who dies upon the path of seeking knowledge is shaheed. It doesn't say that they have gained a complete knowledge. Then if they die, then they will be a shaheed. No, rather whoever is upon this journey and is upon that road and has made a mission and keeps on gaining ilm or knowledge. So even if he dies while on it, then dies as a martyr. It doesn't matter if someone's speed is slow or fast. A person can be very intelligent and learn fast. And then there are some whose mind is not very sharp and they progress slowly. It doesn't matter if someone is a slow learner or a brilliant student. It doesn't matter as long as a person is upon this path of learning, and they keep on going, and if they die, then they get the death of a martyr. In addition, Musa alayhi salam left his other commitments to gain knowledge. He did not take the entire nation of Bani Israel with him. It means when he started this journey to seek knowledge, he left his home, his nation, he left his conveying to others. Today, if we want to gain knowledge, alhamdulillah, we do not need to leave our homes, but we have to cut down on some of our other extra activities. In path of learning, it could mean that our houses are not spick and span 24/7 as we are used to, or that all our clothes are ironed and hanging in our closets, and everything is perfect. No, one has to compromise. We have to give up certain chores to gain knowledge. Also, in the path of knowledge, one has to expend a lot. Then they get some knowledge. While for wealth, even if one works a little bit, they get something. But for gaining knowledge, it is as if one grinds so many almonds to get just even a little bit of oil, not a whole lot. Or as a big coal mine, which only brings one diamond, if not few. We cannot think that if we spend this much time, we will get this much back in knowledge. No, even if we spend a lot of time, we will get some knowledge and not a whole lot. If our seeking knowledge is the last priority in our lives, then we cannot gain it. For gaining knowledge, we have to spend time, energy, effort, focus, then we get it. This is because knowledge of the Quran and Deen is very valuable. Just because it is free doesn't mean it will come to us easily. We will not get any understanding of the ayahs of the Quran if, while listening, we are answering phone calls, we're texting, or cooking. This is not how knowledge is gained. If we do not give our complete concentration, then our knowledge will be shallow and will not gain an in-depth understanding of the ayahs. To learn and understand and to go in depth of each ayah, we have to give our full attention. Then we will gain this knowledge. Also, having knowledge is not just gaining a certificate. Every ayah of the Quran is valuable and deserves complete attention. Musa alayhi salam teaches us how to be committed and dedicated as a student, even if it means taking a long journey. We have to keep on going. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam stated that gain knowledge before it is taken away from people. And what is it being taken away? When those teaching the knowledge pass away. Then Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam raised his middle finger and index finger and put them together and said that there is goodness in being a teacher and a student, and there is none in others. In another narration, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam stated that whoever treads a path to gain knowledge, Allah makes the way to Jannah easy for them. What else do we want? The way to Jannah to be made easy for us. And the angels, they become so pleased and happy with the seekers of knowledge that they spread out their wings. This is such honor for those seeking knowledge. Also, we should not feel less if our friends are working and making money, while we use that time to gain knowledge. Seeking knowledge gains such a noble position. And the students of knowledge, for them, all the creation of heavens and earth, even the fish in the seas, seek their forgiveness. We cannot consider gaining this knowledge insignificant or invaluable. Ali bin Abi Talib said, an alim or a scholar is superior than one fasting voluntarily and standing up for nawafil prayers at night. Ibn Mas'ud said, I swear by the one in whose hand is my life. When the martyred in the path of Allah see the honor of the scholars on the day of Qiyamah, they will wish that they too had been resurrected as scholars. But how does one become an alim or a scholar? A person has to learn, strive, and be committed to gain knowledge. You see the seriousness and commitment of Musa alayhi salam. He left immediately and did not think that he already had knowledge. And what was the need for learning more? The person Musa alayhi salam was going to gain more knowledge from was Khizr alayhi salam. He was a prophet. There are various opinions in different tafsirs regarding who Khizr was. Some say he was Waliullah, and some say he was a prophet. He cannot be a Waliullah because prophethood is above that, and it cannot be that a prophet is going to a Waliullah to gain knowledge. So Khizr alayhi salam was also a prophet, and we will learn of his actions. He only did what he did due to the revelations of Allah. But we see that in Ulul Azm, Khizr alayhi salam is not among them. But name of Musa alayhi salam is among them. We see the ranks of Musa alayhi salam is above Khizr alayhi salam. but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells him to gain knowledge from him. Musa doesn't say, "Why should I go to him, as I am knowledgeable myself?" And he received the Sharia of Bani Israel and the Torah himself. He leaves his nation in an effort to gain more knowledge. Khizr alayhi salam doesn't have complete knowledge, but he has knowledge of things that Musa alayhi salam did not have yet. To gain this knowledge, Musa alayhi salam leaves, and his statement shows his firm commitment and resolve. In the Quran, we learn even one ayah conveys the complete matter. And this ayah conveys the desire of Musa alayhi salam to gain knowledge. Knowledge of something Khizr alayhi salam was more knowledgeable about. Musa doesn't feel pride in his knowledge. It is possible for someone who is more knowledgeable to be in a company of someone who has lesser knowledge than them in a certain matter, but it is possible that they are better and more learned in other fields of knowledge of Quran, such as hifz or tajweed. And if we are weak in those regards, then there is no harm in gaining that knowledge from them. So he left to seek knowledge with his student. The youth student is also committed. We should remember that Shaytan wants to sever our commitments. If there is no commitment, no matter how good a class is or how well students are taught, and no matter how much effort students are being taught with, will not learn if there is no commitment on the part of the students. If one goes off track once, it is very hard to come back on track. People leave learning and say, "I will do it after a few days or a few months." It doesn't happen. Only when one is committed can accomplish anything, including learning and gaining knowledge. We also see the humility of Musa alayhi salam. He leaves himself to gain knowledge. The thirsty is going to the well, not saying, "Send Khidr to me and I will stay here with my people." فَلَمَّا بَلَغَ مَجْمَعَ بَيْنِهِمَا, when they both reached the junction between the seas, نَسِيَ حُوتَهُمَا, they forgot their fish. What was the place they were told to go to find Khizr? They were told to take a fish, and wherever the fish was lost, that was where they would find him. What happens is that they both forget. فَاتَّخَذَ سَبِيلَهُ فِي الْبَحْرِ سَرَبًا, the fish made a way to the sea by burrowing. It is said that it took its way through the sea straight as in a tunnel. Allah had stopped the flow of water on both sides of the way created by the fish so that it would look like a tunnel. The fish was cooked, which became alive. It is said that the place where they were, there was a spring called Al-Hayat. Some of the water fell on the fish and it became alive. And it began to move, and it jumped out of the basket or the vessel that it was in and into the sea. فَلَمَّا جَاوَزَ, so when they crossed and went ahead, قَالَ لِفَتَاهُ, he said to his servant or his young student, أَتِنَا غَدَاءَنَا, bring us our meal. You see that Yusha bin Nun saw the fish jump out into the sea. We learn that due to respect of the teacher, he didn't disturb him and wake him up. He thought he would tell him when he would wake up. So when Musa alayhi salam wakes up, he forgets to tell Musa about it. The student respected his teacher, and that's why he did not wake him up. So when Musa alayhi salam woke up, they continued on with their journey, walking. And they came to a place where Musa told his youth servant or student that he is hungry and feeling tired. He didn't feel tired before then, but now when they had left the place and continued onward, as Allah willed, Allah had wanted to test them. He could have felt the fatigue before this time, but he felt when they had gone further. Musa alayhi salam said, لَقَدْ لَقِينَا مِنْ سَفَرِنَا هَذَا نَصَبًا, he said, certainly we have met in our journey fatigue. Here Musa alayhi salam said, Safarina, we have both met fatigue or become tired, instead of saying, "I am tired." This shows Musa alayhi salam's mercy and care for his servant or student. Before, he didn't say, "We will both continue," but here he said, "We have both become tired." And their fatigue became a mercy from Allah, because if they didn't tire, they would not have stopped, nor they would have asked for their meal or thought of their fish, and would have continued onward. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought on tiredness for them when it was the will of Allah, and they were tested with their continuing onward. Also, their mentioning that they were tired, is it considered a complaint? And is it disallowed or un-Islamic? No, whenever a person feels ill or pain or tires, there is no harm in telling others about it. This is not against the pleasure of Allah. However, when a person complains impatiently and whines about their pains or fatigue persistently, then those words showing impatience are disliked. Likewise, if someone complains regarding Allah, na'udhu billah, or constantly wails, or there is constant complaining, for example, pain in the throat, that is disliked. But there is no harm when we tell someone of our headache. It doesn't decrease one's ranks near Allah. Or if someone faces a calamity or a problem, or faces losses of wealth or life, if someone tells others and they talk about it with someone, there is no harm in it. As when Yaqub alayhi salam's son Yusuf was lost, other people were informed about his loss. There is nothing bad in this. Here we see from the word naflab, extreme fatigue. They kept walking until they were extremely tired. Qala ara'ayta, he said, did you see? This is Musa alayhi salam's student, Yusha bin Nun, saying this. Did you see? Is awayna, when we took shelter and refuge, where Musa alayhi salam put his head on the rock and fell asleep. When you were sleeping, fa inni nasitu al-huta, then indeed I forgot the fish. Yusha didn't wake up Musa alayhi salam out of respect and regard when he saw the fish jump out, but then he forgot to mention it to him when Musa alayhi salam woke up. Now he remembers and admits that he forgot about the fish and says, I forgot. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Nasiya hudahuma, they both forgot about their fish. But this is a matter of regard, that he attributed the forgetfulness to himself and excused the other person. Not that I forgot, but where were you? It's a big matter not to blame someone else or make excuses. وَمَا أَنْسَانِيهُ إِلَّا الشَّيْطَانُ أَنْ أَذْكُرَهُ, and it was Shaytan who made me forget that I mentioned it to you. First he took the responsibility himself. Then he said that Shaytan made him forget. While normally people do not take responsibility of their wrongs and they blame Shaytan or others, first he mentions his own mistake, then that Shaytan made him forget. From this, we learn that Shaytan makes man forget, not just good deeds that should be done, such as by making one forget their salah or other good deeds, actions, but also makes one forget things that cause a loss to the person. Therefore, from time to time, a person should recite A'udhu Billah to seek refuge in Allah, so Shaytan doesn't make us forget. Also, we can say La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, and saying A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem. We must say this because the shaitan will make us forget. So shaitan made him forget to mention it and said, وَاتَّخَذَ سَبِيلَهُ فِي الْبَحْرِ عَجَبًا, and the fish took its way to the sea in a strange way. Why was it strange? Because first of all, the fish was dead and it started to move and then jumped out. Secondly, the tunnel it made in the water was also strange. قَالَ ذَٰلِكَ مَا كُنَّا نَبْغِي, Musa alayhi salam said, this is what we were looking for. فَارْتَدَّ عَلَىٰ آثَارِهِمَا قُصَصًا, so they both went back, retracing their footsteps. This was after they walked for an entire day and night, coming so far away. Now they retrace their footsteps, but what we note is the kindness and mercy of Musa alayhi salam, that even if his student forgot, he didn't become enraged or even angry at him for this mistake. This is how one should overlook mistakes made by someone else, either lesser in age or lesser in rank, either if they are your student, your servant, or your own child. If our child does this and forgets to tell us something important, we become so angry and let the child know about it. While Musa alayhi salam had mentioned to his student to remind him when they reached the junction, he had given Musa bin Nun instructions to inform him where the fish went in the water. And this is what he forgot to mention. We see the merciful character of a prophet. As Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu stated that he had served the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for 10 years. He was a young boy. He said, there was not a single day when the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam even said, why did you do such a thing? Or why you didn't do this? Not once in the 10 years he spent with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We see his mercy and letting go of students' mistake. Here we will continue on with the story as mentioned in the hadith in Bukhari and Muslim. So they returned back to the rock where he had taken his rest. There he saw a person sitting wrapped in a garment. Musa alayhi salam greeted him with assalamu alaikum, and he said, strange, where is this greeting from on this earth? He said, I am Musa. We learned that previous prophets also greeted with salam, not hello or hi. Also, it is a possibility that there were no Muslims Khizr alayhi salam knew of and was surprised to hear this greeting. So Musa alayhi salam said, I am Musa. Khizr alayhi salam asked, are you Musa of Bani Israel? It means that he knew about Musa alayhi salam, but Musa alayhi salam didn't know about Khizr. Either because Musa alayhi salam was well known, or perhaps Allah had informed Khizr about him, that Musa of Bani Israel is coming. Musa alayhi salam said, yes, I am him. I have come to learn from you knowledge, the goodness that Allah has bestowed you with. Khizr alayhi salam said, O Musa, you will not be able to have patience with me, because the knowledge I have been given, you have not, and what you have been given, I have not. What does he recognize? We see humility of Khizr alayhi salam. And he knew that Musa alayhi salam was given much knowledge when he said, knowledge which I do not have. But what does this show? He didn't say, I am alim and most knowledgeable. No, he said, what knowledge you have been given, I do not have that. As one person is an expert in knowledge in a certain field of study, and another will have knowledge of a different field. There is no shame for a teacher to say, I do not know a certain matter, if they don't know. Whenever we teach, we should not feel shame in admitting if we do not know an answer to a question. One of the big scholars from the past, when a man came to him from far away to ask him certain questions, when the man asked the first question, the scholar said, I do not know. When he was asked a second question, again he said, I do not know. When he asked other questions, again the scholar responded with, I do not know. The man said, what shall I tell my people that I went to such a big scholar or imam? What should I tell them? The scholar said, tell them that he doesn't know. So there is no harm in saying, I do not know, when we do not know. We cannot be expert in every field. Even with his knowledge, Khizr admits that he doesn't have knowledge of what Musa alayhi salam was given. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given both different types of knowledge, and we learned that their knowledge was from Allah, not their own knowledge. It was from Allah, but different knowledge. Musa alayhi salam said, you will find me patient, and I will not disobey you in any matter. Khizr alayhi salam said, if you want to come with me, then do not ask me about anything until I tell you about it myself.